Only 100 meters, said Hub Control. Better slow down. That was hardly necessary, yet they had already done so. It was a sheer, straight drop of 50 meters from the level of the plain to that of the sea, if it was a sea, and not another sheet of that mysterious crystalline material. Although Norton had impressed upon everyone the danger of taking anything for granted in Rama, few doubted that the sea was really made of ice. But for what conceivable reason was the cliff on the southern shore 500 meters high, instead of the 50 here? It was as if they were approaching the edge of the world. Their oval of light cut off abruptly ahead of them, became shorter and shorter. But far out on the curved screen of the sea, their monstrous foreshortened shadows had appeared, magnifying and exaggerating every movement. Those shadows had been their companions every step of the way, as they marched down the beam. But now that they were broken at the edge of the cliff, they no longer seemed part of them. They might have been creatures of the cylindrical sea, waiting to deal with any intruders into their domain. Because they were now standing on the edge of a 50-meter cliff, it was possible for the first time to appreciate the curvature of Rama. But no one had ever seen a frozen lake bent upwards into a cylindrical surface. That was distinctly unsettling, and the eye did its best to find some other interpretation. It seemed to Dr. Ernst, who had once made a study of visual illusions, that half the time she was really looking at a horizontally curving bay, not a surface that soared up into the sky. It required a deliberate effort of will to accept the fantastic truth. Only in the line directly ahead, parallel to the axis of Rama, was normalcy preserved. In this direction alone was there agreement between vision and logic. Here, for the next few kilometers at least, Rama looked flat and was flat. And out there, beyond their distorted shadows and the outer limits of the beam, lay the island that dominated the cylindrical sea.